with us the word of the Lord. And can we just stand and honor him as he comes? So, hope you brought a big bag of seed today.
Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. What a blessing. Amen. But I'm just so delighted. We have my daughter, Gabriella. We call her Gabby, but Gabriella is her proper name. And she has two friends here, and I just want to honor you all the way from Atlanta. And yeah, you just stand up. Just give them a big hand. Amen. And it was so funny when I was ministering to you the other night, I just felt to ask you whether you know Gabby, and I didn't. And so I just want to tell you, be encouraged. This is a season of great breakthrough. You both carry an amazing anointing on your lives. And I just feel like this is going to be a season of great multiplication and acceleration for both of you. And so just step into, keep on pressing in, keep on leaning in to God. And as you lean in, all those dreams and desires you've had over the years will come to pass. Amen. And what is your name? Yes. Shay, I just feel that you've had so many things in the vegetable garden or the garden of faith right now. God says there's a garden full of faith. And you've planted those seeds over and over again. And it's like, Lord, when is my harvest? And then suddenly I felt like, you know, you're coming into a season where Ruth kept on gleaning in other people's fields. And God says, I gave her own field. And so I just want to tell you that you're coming into a season of your own field, Chad. You've been so faithful. You've been everybody else's nursemaid and mom. And sometimes you feel like a mother. And God says, I'm going to give you your own field. So I just wanted to share that with you. Amen. Give God a hand. I love that. Praise God. Thank you. Obviously, she knew what I was speaking about. But, you know, I wanted to say this, that, you know, when I come to this church, there's always an open portal over this place where it's interesting. You know, I go to churches all around the world. Like I said, I'm booked up until next year, June, July. We'll be traveling back to Europe, Germany, Holland, Belgium, Africa, South Africa, Zambia, and just amazing stuff happening. But when I come here, the whole dynamic is different because it's like God is personally wanting to adorn you. You know, last night when I left you, I was saying, God, I could minister there every single day for hours because it's a sponge. And I just love to be here because it's like God is interested in you individually. And I get the honor of adorning you individually. And I get to do it because He wants you to be equipped. It's like God is intentional about Bridge of Hope. It's not like any other. I'm telling you, I travel all over and I go to churches and all they want me to do is teach, prophesy, and leave. And in this house, it's like God is equipping you. I saw equipment this morning. And so I want you to play that soundtrack, if you guys can hear me in the sound desk. Can you play that clip? I want you to hear what African lions sound like. Seeing that we sang about the roar of the lion. If you can put that on the loudest you can without smashing the speakers. I want to just make you understand something. When you're in the natural, when you're standing in the bush and you hear that, it's like you make sure you have your life insurance paid, your health insurance paid, and your laundry bill paid. There's something about African lion when they roar. And we have such a small concept of the Lion of Judah. And let me tell you right now, the Lion of Judah is roaring over the nations.
And it's amazing when lions roar, and I'm not speaking about lions, but when lions roar, nothing else roars. The hyenas don't make a sound, the jackals aren't doing nothing, the birds keep quiet. So I want you to know that this morning that song is so prophetic, because you have the Lion of Judah on the inside of you. You have the King of Kings on the inside of you. And this morning I want to speak about Saturday, I think, or Friday, I spoke about you are revival. You are revival. You actually change the ecosystem. When you walk into the atmosphere, whatever it is, you change the atmosphere. But we've got to get a revelation of that. This morning, I'm going to speak about you are destiny. You are destiny. You carry not only a concept of destiny, but you carry within you the DNA of the kingdom of heaven. You are destiny. Don't allow people in your life to talk you out of your destiny, out of your dreams, out of your purpose. Don't allow other people to talk you into their mandate so you leave your purpose and your destiny to follow somebody else that doesn't have a vision or a future. And so that's why I love the prophetic so much, because the prophetic continuously gets us focused on what God is saying and already thought through before He said it. Amen? Come on, God's already, every prophetic word that is released into your life has already been thought through. The prophet may think he's the cool guy, but he's not. He's just the conduit of what God's already said and thought about you before the foundation of the world, and realize that in that moment of time, that's when you needed to hear the word. People say, well, that I should have got that word 5 years ago. No, you would not have been able to handle that word 5 years ago. God is never late. And so when I look at this, I realize that God is faithful, and He wants to ignite in your life the faith and the vision and the capacity you need that will carry you through to when He comes. What am I saying? I'm saying that many times we lose momentum because we're looking for victory, we're looking for glory, we're looking for something, and God says, you actually carry it. You carry victory. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The reason why we allow all sorts of other stuff to come and cloud our faith, cloud our vision, all these other voices, you've got to shut the voices down, and you've got to get familiar, become familiar with His voice and realize what He did on the cross for you to live by today. He doesn't want the church to lose momentum. We lose momentum. It's like, how do we keep entertaining a church? We have to entertain and entertain and entertain and entertain and entertain so that they don't lose momentum. That is just absolute nonsense. We've got to get into a position where the reason why we don't lose momentum is because we are so in tune to what He did for us. Amen? Come on. I meet people all the time. It's like, well, I'm just tired. I've been in, you know, Christianity all this long, and we just lose momentum and we don't fulfill destiny. The older I get, and I'm not very old, but I'm older than most of you, probably 50% of you. There's other old dudes here, but I'm old. I turned 60 this year, and I'm thinking 60, 40 years knowing the King. I haven't lost momentum. I'm still as fresh, still as zealous, still as full on as I was when I received Jesus. Amen. Come on. People ask me all the time, what do you do? No, I just hang around Jesus a whole lot. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that we've got to move from a converted mentality. I'm converted. I'm just a convert. You've got to get into the zone called discipleship. And then you've got to get into this place where you understand responsibility as a leader. I carry destiny. Amen. Come on. Every word I speak is a seed that I speak into your life to bring forth the roots that's going to keep you sustained by the things of God. Amen. Come on. This stuff I'm preaching is not just something I made up last night because I couldn't go to bed. This stuff I carry in me in my seed pouch, so that when I come in here and find soil that is
that is fertile and hungry, I want to plant that seed so that in 3 months, 4 months, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you actually grown into a great oak. Amen. Come on. A big oak is a little nut that stood its ground.
That's right.
You know, we don't all start off being big oaks. We start off being little nuts. Little seeds in the ground. Amen. Come on. But we allow God to come and nurture us. And I want to be nurtured by Him. Amen. Come on. I want to worship the King. I desire to be in worship. The reason why you cannot get enough of worship, Pastor Zach, is because you were created to worship. That's just who you are. That's your nature. That's your DNA. That's your makeup. That's everything that you are. It's in your DNA. It's everything you are. That's why I can't get enough of worship. But if you have to come into an atmosphere like this and say, well, I have to be there this morning. I have to worship. I have to raise my hands. Don't even come. Because that's not a love relationship. I cannot imagine what my Jewish wife would do to me if I said to her, you know what, I have to kiss you this morning. I don't want to, but I have to. I've been big kimchi, let me tell you. I really don't like to, but I have to buy your Christmas gift this year. I wouldn't last 2 minutes. Hello? And some of us act like that because we don't know who we carry. And we don't know whose we are. We're still living from a convert mentality. No, we've got to grow into this place where we say, no, I'm a son. God wants to ignite stuff inside of you today. Amen. Come on. How many of you realize that there's an ignition coming on the earth in His bride? God's coming back. Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride. He's not coming back for a prostitute. He's not coming back for an orphan or a beggar or a dysfunctional bride. He's coming back for this glorious bride. And in the season of our life, open up your heart and say, God, ignite areas of my life that I've grown dull in, where I've lost my momentum and I've just lost the stuff. God, would you reignite my first love? I'm so in love. And I was like, come on, guys, this is the 21st century. Jesus is coming back. And so you are destined. So let's go to Luke 17 and let's get in the Word tonight, in this morning, because I really want to encourage you to start to understand what you carry, whose you are. Amen? Come on. And Luke 17 is an amazing verse because it says here, and this is after Jesus healed somebody. He healed the 10 lepers. Only one came back. And then in verse 20, this is Luke 17 on page 1190, it says, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, listen, and I meet a lot of people that are so interested when the end will be and when the end will be. No, focus on the immediate and the present and the end will come. Whether you like it or not, the end's coming, but you've got to start focusing on the present. What's God called you to do now? Amen. And when He comes, I pray God finds you in the vineyard. Amen. Stamping out the wine. And it says, you're asked by the Pharisees. This is Luke 17, verse 20. You're asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come. He replied to them by saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display. You must understand who he was dealing with. He was dealing with a very legalistic sect. And to them, everything was about visual experiences. It wasn't about heart experiences. Amen. Those guys had nothing to do with God. It was all about what they could see other people do wrong. So their whole lives were just surrounded by legalistic visual. And so Jesus said, stop looking for the visual. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display, nor will people say, look here, it is here, or see, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In the Amplified Bible, it says, in your hearts, among you, surrounding you. When I started to look at that, I realized that we miss out on all sorts of things because we keep on grappling with something Jesus already paid for. Yesterday morning, at 4:30 in the morning, God woke me up and spoke a word to me as clear as I'm speaking to you. And He said, why is my church still looking for something I've paid for. I've already paid for it. If you paid your home off, they will give you a title deed, and it would be crazy if you kept on paying your payments. Some of you are trying to keep on looking for something. You keep on begging for something that God's already paid for. Amen? And in this moment, while you're sitting in this atmosphere of faith, I want to assure you that the kingdom of heaven is in you. The kingdom of heaven is manifested in you. What does that actually mean? What does that relate to? What is that actually, what's the understanding behind that? That wherever you go, you actually carry not just a concept or an idea, but you carry a revelation that Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all of who God is, now lives on the inside of you. I want you to think about that. So I don't look for glory, I live from glory. I don't look for victory, I live from victory, from victory, from victory. Amen, come on. I'm conscious of God. I'm conscious of the fact that when I step into this atmosphere, things are going to change around me. I'm alert, I'm conscious, I'm observant, I'm looking, I'm perceiving, I'm discerning all the time. Amen, come on. Hello. Said the other night when I go out with Dee, he's always reminding me, you with me, baby. He goes, why? Because I'm one of those guys, I'm always looking around. My frequency is always up there. My antennas are always working 100%. Amen? Come on. And so we need to understand, the word God gave me in the last couple of days was this. He said, I'm bringing the church into, I'm adorning the church with valor. Like valor? And then I started to look what valor means. It means boldness and determination in facing great danger. So there's valor coming on the church. Valor is coming in the bride. And the bride, the picture that I get of the bride is that she's half warrior and half bride. This side of her is like sword, spear, you know, armor, and just really fierce looking. On that side, I just see this beautiful bride just dressed like a bride, and which is awesome. And God says, I'm going to give the church a boldness and a determination, especially in battle. But she's going to have to know who she is. In other words, heroic courage, bravery, fearlessness. I'm fearless because I know who lives on the inside of me. There's a lion roaring on the inside of me. When I pray, it's a roar that goes out and shuts up the mouth of the enemy. But you've got to start to think that, you've got to start to meditate on that, because we have such a sin-conscious mindset. We walk around and we talk about the devil as if he is on the same platform as God. There's no comparison between God and the devil. No, you can't compare the two kingdoms. And because we don't have an understanding of what we look like to heaven. Have you ever thought about what you look like to heaven? Ever thought about that? What do you look like to heaven? You born again? You born again? You born again? Have you received Jesus? Would you like to know? Come. Say, Lord Jesus. Give me your hand. Say, Lord Jesus. I want to know what it's like to be born again. So today, I'm going to ask you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you, Lord Jesus, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross. You rose again for me. And today by faith, I receive you. I invite you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm washed in your blood. Born again. Yes. You just received the King. Amen. That's what it means. We didn't have to light some candles. We didn't have to kill a lamb, although I'd love to kill a lamb. But we didn't have to do all that stuff. We just had to go to God and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life as my Lord and my Savior and set me free from all the stuff that the devil has tried to accuse me of in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. But what do you look like to heaven? what do you look like to heaven? You see, we've got to create an image on the inside of what we look like to heaven. Have you ever thought about what you look like to heaven? Are you born again? Then you look like an amazing woman of God to heaven. In other words, you're full of glory, you're full of power, you're full of the anointing, you're full of purity, you're full of holiness, you're righteous, you're walking around as a queen, as a king, amen, come on, there's royalty on you. It's amazing how the devil dulled down the church in terms of what she looks like. That's why we battle when prophets come to town and they start prophesying over your life, how great you're going to be in and what you're going to accomplish. And we're sitting there and we've got this weird image that God didn't put inside of you, and we have to work through all the image problems before we can believe the word. Come on, you've got to go home today and in the morning get out of bed and say, God, I thank you. I am what you say I am. I live from victory. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. Come on, you've got to say that every day of your life. Be so that you can remove all the junk the enemy wants you to believe. Greater is he in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Come on, you're a mighty woman of God. You're a mighty man of God. Greater is he in you than he that is in the world. And God's going to pour into you such fire and oil and wine. And when people meet with you, they're going to say, wow, she's a living testimony of God's goodness. You've got to build that imagery. You're going to say, God, I need to be valor. Give me all the valor I need in this season. Are you hearing me? Because otherwise we just, well, I'm just waiting for Jesus. When everything's said and done, at the end of the day, you're going to look like him. You're going to be the visible image of Christ. Not invisible. Because some of us just want to live an invisible life. It's impossible as a Christian to live an invisible life. I don't know where they got this thing about, well, as a Christian, you know, speak less. And what's that whole thing about use less words? If possible, use no words. That's from the pit of hell. That is a lot of bunch of polony. And the church has chewed that up and received it hook, line, and sinker. And now we don't want to say anything because some dude thought that up. Some philosopher had thought. The Bible, my Bible says, go and preach the gospel. In all the earth, they use a lot of words. And a lifestyle, thank you, to back it up. So let's go quickly, because let me just say this. Let me just read this again. And it says, normal people say, look here, it is there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. And he said to the disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see even one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And so it goes on. And so when I look at this, there's something very powerful when men and women of God have these characteristics in their lives. All of us have the spirit of pioneering in us. How many of you know that? There are very few pioneers, but more settlers. When people pioneered a country, it's not like 20 million people went to pioneer. There's only 3 or 4 pioneers and a lot more settlers. And God's saying, well, in this season, I'm going to raise up a whole momentum of pioneers. And that doesn't mean everybody's going to go with you. It means that God's called you to pioneer strategies and realms of the Spirit that nobody else wants to go there. And so I feel that we're coming into a season where you've got to understand that you are destiny, and wherever I go, I'm pioneering, I'm pushing back darkness, I'm raising up a standard so that I can get the settlers to come in and take territory. It's very easy to go and settle where everybody else is settling, but we need some pioneers. And that's why I love Alaska so much, because this whole continent of Alaska is like a continent. They were pioneers. People that went up into the interior of this amazing state and found places and staked out their lives. I mean, that's why you're all here. Somebody had a vision. Amen? Come on. And so when I look at this, I think, God, we're losing momentum because we don't understand who we are. And so let me go to 1 Peter, because I want to shine some more light on the fact of who you are. Listen to me. How many of you know that there's a war, there's a battle that rages consistently against your identity? identity. These young people, if you're not homeschooled, if you're in the school system in America, I can tell you right now, you as a parent had better be sure that you're teaching your kids what they look like to heaven. Because in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we should all know this off by heart, this is an amazing scripture, and we've got to get it. Amen? Come on. And it says, in verse 8, and a stone that will cause stumbling and a rock will give men offense. They stumble because they disobey and believe and disbelieve God's word, as those who reject Him were destined, appointed to do so. But you are a chosen race. Say that. Chosen race. But you are a chosen race. But you are a chosen generation. Amen? A royal priesthood. Say royal priesthood. When I say royalty, what do you think of? I'm going to pick on you kids until you know the answers. Amen? When I say royal, what do you think of? Let's play some trivia. No, probably. Don't know probably. Just say, I think of a king. I think of a queen. I think of a high standard. I think of excellence. I think of brilliance. Amen? When I say royal, what do you think of? Throne. Hallelujah. Amen. So let me say this again. But you are a chosen race. How many of you sitting here tonight or this morning are a chosen people?
Yes.
Please, I beg you with tears in my navy blue eyes, put your hands up, every one of you. You are a chosen generation. Both hands, both feet, everything that can move in your body, just put it up in the air and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm a chosen race. Look at your friend and say, you're a chosen race. I'm not speaking about black or white or Chinese or Japanese. I'm speaking about the fact that you are God's creation and you've been chosen to be alive in this season. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, amen, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm more special than you are. I'm special. I'm like extra special. I'm like the awesomeness of awesomenesses. See, we've got to break this thing off our mind and get an image on the inside of us by what we look like. Hello? Amen? I'm so amazed. You know, my daughter, she's staying with us at the moment, and please pray, you guys. They need to find a house today. But when she goes out, she doesn't... Gabby is like... Don't tell her I'm speaking about her now. She's like a chosen generation. She knows exactly who she is. Amen. You've got to get an understanding in this season who you are and whose you are.
Yeah.
And you've got to start to live from this place of declaration over your life all the time. Do you realize that when you speak the word of God, you're doing four things? You're declaring, you're decreeing, you're establishing, and you're creating. You can write that down. There are four things that happens when you come into agreement with God's word. You are decreeing, you are declaring, you are establishing, and you are creating. You create with your mouth. You create with things that come out of your mouth. Amen. Come on. Greater is he in me than he that is in the world. What did I just do? I just declared something. I just decreed something. And God looks down from heaven and says, hey, that's my word. I can get involved with that. See, God doesn't respond to your tantrums. God doesn't respond to your stuff. God says, I only respond to my word. You can lie on the floor all you want and have a tantrum and hit your head, knock your head. You can shout and scream. You can do all the stuff, but I only respond to my word. Is this okay? Just say, I'm destiny. Say it with me. I am destiny. I am destiny. I am revival. I am destiny. Greater is he in me than he that is in the world. Come on. We've got to get into a habit of saying that stuff. Wherever you step, wherever you put your foot into that place, you change the ecosystem. I'm always looking for people to, like, which demon's going to come out of somebody when I walk into Starbucks? I had some come out the other day. I went to Starbucks and I was just minding my own business, looking at the coffee early in the morning, and I just myself, and there was another guy there, and I was standing, I kid you not, this far away from him, He was standing where Pastor Zach's sitting. I'm standing here. I'm looking at the coffee. It was early. Nobody else was there. He turns around where he's standing and looks at me and says, "Why are you standing so close to me?" And then runs out the store. And you know what the Lord said to me? This is what the Lord said to me. Why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? Running through Sydney Airport, I'll never forget this. Running through Sydney Airport, run up to the Qantas desk, myself and Colin Tucker, and the lady behind the desk falls over. And so I'm thinking, she must be charismatic, because that's what they do, they just fall over. I said to her, "Excuse me, man, are you born again?" She said, "No, I'm an atheist, but what happened to me?" You know what the Lord said to me? "Why are you surprised?" See, we live in this realm of one foot's in the kingdom, the other foot's in the natural realm. We allow the natural realm to become the mandate, but we don't actually understand what we carry, so we miss out on these moments of supernatural encounters because we're looking back into the natural realm instead of exercising our faith to actually enjoy the supernatural realm. Hallelujah. Thank you. Listen to me. Listen to me. You should be experiencing supernatural encounters 24 hours a day. Not just during worship. Not just when the prophet comes and that moment you get a word, it's like, ooh. You should be experiencing all these amazing emotions and manifestations every moment you're awake. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? And so, I'm not even out of my introduction yet. So let me read that verse again. You are a chosen race. You've got to get this in you. I am a chosen. God chose me before the foundation of the world. A royal priesthood. A dedicated nation. God's own purchased special people that you may set forth. Listen. That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and you display the virtues and the perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Come on, you have been called to set forth the wonderful deeds and display. So what deeds are you displaying? What do you actually display on a regular basis in your life? Who are you displaying? What deeds of God have been manifest through your life? That's one thing that I'm consistently aware of as I live and just live my life in this natural realm. I'm consistently saying, God, display your glory, God. Display your glory, Jesus. Display your glory, Jesus. I want to see blind eyes. I was flying back the other day from England, and there was a woman sitting next to me, and the first question they asked, and I don't like sitting by the window. I like sitting by the aisle. But for some reason, Delta put me in by the window, and she was the middle person, and I was just sitting there, minding my business, not really. And so she said to me, "What do you do?" So I said to her, I am a pastor. And she said to me, "What does that mean?" I said, "You don't know what a pastor is?" She says, "No, I go to a Catholic church, or we have a priest." And obviously she was very entrenched in the Catholic system because she didn't have a clue about what a pastor is. And so I started to share with her what a pastor is and what it means to pastor people and shepherd people. And she looked at me and she said, "I've never heard of that before." She said, can I get born again?" And I said, "Sure you can. There's no problem. You don't have to pay me." So I led her into this prayer of salvation, got saved, and you know what she was? She was a CEO of one of the largest corporations. And then she said, "Can my husband get saved, born again?" I said, "Yes." "My children?" "Yes." She said, "Can I go home and lead them all to Jesus?" I said, "Yes." Because I was observant. Hello? See, when I go to Walmart, I'm observant. When I go to Hobby Lobby, I'm observant. When I go to Wells Fargo, I'm observant. When I leave my garden and get in my truck, I'm observant. I'm listening. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like, well, church is the only contact I have with Jesus. This is a place of celebration. This is a place where they impart, equip you, impart to you, stir you, remind you, but then they send you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in the next month, 1,000 more people could come to this church. 1,000. Because every one of you knows some people that need to be here. And so if you lived your life out of the concept and revelation that you're destiny and that you're revival, guess what should be happening? The people that come in contact with you should become alive because you carry the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. They should be resurrected. Every time you come in contact with somebody, there should be a resurrection. Because his resurrections become your resurrection. So everywhere you go, you should be bringing people into a concept of who this wonderful, beautiful Jesus is. There should be a flash flood of revival around us because we understand who we carry. To say, I'm destiny. Every one of you sitting here this morning has a destiny and a purpose, and God wants that purpose to be fulfilled. When? Now, right now, in your life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And then, I don't know what's going to happen then, because I've still got like 10 pages. 2 Corinthians. Listen, let's go there quickly. I just want to stir you. You guys are so awesome. You're so beautiful. Amen. Come on. You are His beautiful bride. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. How many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Put your hands up. How many of you are born again? How many of you are not born again? Anybody that needs to be saved? How many of you want an encounter with God? Then you need to start saying, God, every day, I want an encounter with you. I want an encounter with you. I want to encounter you, God. I want you to soften my heart. I want you to give me a frequency. God, I want to hear what's going on. Amen. Come on. Sickness shouldn't come into this building. This is a cancer-free zone. Every demonic person that comes in here needs to get delivered knowing that they're loved by Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it says here in 2 Corinthians, and I love this, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Say liberty.
Liberty.
How many people in the last week when they met you experienced liberty? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So wherever you go, you bring the spirit of freedom, liberty, amen, healing, restoration. Think about that. Listen, it gets gooder. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, and all of us with unveiled face. When did that happen? When did that happen? When did we get an unveiled face? When Jesus said, it is finished, what happened? The veil was rent. And it says, with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now listen, I want you to listen to this word. We continue to behold as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. So if you're looking in a mirror, what do you see? What do you see? When I look in the mirror, you know what I see? Me. And in that word, it says, because I look in the mirror, guess what I'm seeing in me? Glory. You've got to see it. Jesus said, I've given them my glory. And we're still looking for it. So every time I look in the mirror, I see a glorious one.
Yeah.
I see the fire of the Holy Spirit. I see a chosen one. I see a royal priesthood. I don't see a meek little failure orphan beggar. I see a great conqueror. How many of you know that we don't have dominion over people? It says in Genesis, called the Genesis mandate, he says, I've given you dominion over all the other things. It doesn't say over people. So I'm not speaking about the fact that I have glory and power and all the stuff so that I can dominate people. I dominate the spiritual world. I live in the third heaven and I speak into the first heaven. I have authority over the second heaven. But I'm not going to use first heaven mindsets to change third heaven strategies. Amen. Come on. I'm bold. When I'm praying for people to get healed, I'm bold. When I'm prophesying, it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe. No, I'm bold when I prophesy. Because after, you know, being in a prophetic realm for so long, I know who God is and I know His voice. But I've got to understand all this stuff. It says, and all of us with unveiled face continue to hold in the Word of God as in the mirror. The glory of God are constantly being transformed or transfigured into His very own image. Let me read that again. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are consistently being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Let's break it down. When I was a kid, I loved to burn stuff. I was like a born arsonist. I'm telling you, man, I burned stuff. I burned fields, I burned forests, I burned all sorts of stuff. The greatest joy I had, Jay, was when I took my toys, like tanks, and set them alight and saw them change shape. I loved it. Big old plastic tank just changed image real quick. And then later on I get saved and I get find this verse and I'm like, and I'll be transfigured into His image? I knew that immediately. What was that? I knew exactly, because I'd played around with stuff that changed the image. See, every one of you sitting here this morning, because you are in Christ Jesus, you are consistently being transfigured. I'm not the same guy I was in 1980. Come on, I've been transfigured a whole lot more. And some of you in this room have transfigured. You've been transfigured, transformed, but you can't recognize it yet, and it keeps you in a place of lack, in a place of stagnation, because you can't see the lion yet. But every one of you have a lion. Every one of you have the Lord Jesus on the inside of you, but because you're so hooked into your old man, you're so focused on the old image of what you were, you're missing the image of what you are. And because you don't have the image of the new man, and you don't understand the new man, you still speak old language. You still see through old eyes, you hear with old ears, and God says this morning, you've got to get a revelation of who's living on the inside of you. Come on. You've got to focus, honey. Amen. Come on. You've got to focus. You've got to start a focus and say, God, I'm not going to allow the old man. I'm not going to allow the old stuff, the old nature to rise up in me. Today, I'm embracing the new man. And Lord, would you show me how I've been transfigured from the moment I got saved to this moment in my life. I'm no longer, and no longer I that liveth, but Christ in me, the hope and glory. And if Christ in me, the hope and glory, lives on the inside of me, then Jay, we change atmospheres. And so I'm expecting people to get healed. It's not like we're going to pray for 500 hours. How long was the prayer of Jabez? Have you ever measured how quick that prayer was? Didn't pray for 20 hours. Lord, bless me indeed today. Amen. Extend my tent to the left and to the right, and Lord, keep evil far from me. Amen. We've got to understand that those things that you want and require to see change, it's already been paid for, brother. Yeah. And I believe today, if we can get a concept of this and say, God, I thank you that I am destiny. God, I am chosen. I'm a royal priesthood. God, I've been transfigured. I've been transformed. I've been made perfect. I've been perfected daily, Lord. I thank you that I'm righteous. I thank you that I've been sanctified. I thank you that I'm a son. I thank you that, Lord, I'm a son of covenant. We start stepping into this new level of authority. And we start saying, no, I'm seated with Christ. Amen? I'm seated with Papa. Because Papa's on the other side of Jesus. Jesus is sitting here. I'm sitting next to you. I'm actually co-seated with Jesus. You understand what happens in somebody's life when they start to get that revelation? Hallelujah. Just one more thing. Can I just share one more thing? This is what happens. And I'm just going to read this to you. We've got to break the threat of the unknown. What does that mean? Let me explain this. The enemy wants you to live in no man's land. When he got Elijah off his focus and off his purpose and brought a remark through a Jezebelic demonic thing, just a remark, she just made a remark. By this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill Elijah. How many of you know a message doesn't kill you? It's just a message. If she really wanted to kill him, she would have had him killed. But she sent a message to distract him off course. And because he wasn't healed completely, because when you look at Elijah's life, this guy had all the training in the world, but he was still insecure because he thought he was the only prophet left. And he wasn't the only prophet left. There was 5,000 other people. But one remark, one message got him to run out of the realm of his authority into no man's land. And what happens in no man's land? Nothing. And that's what the devil wants to do with all of us. If I can get you out of the realm of glory, out of the realm of your assignment, out of the realm of your purpose, out of the realm of your destiny, and I can keep you running, I can get you to live in no man's land, where you'll become neutral to the purposes of God, you'll become neutral to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you'll become neutral in terms of righteousness and truth, and you'll live in no man's land, and you'll be persuaded by every other voice that comes along that you're a failure. That's what the devil wants us to believe. If you and I have to stop allowing those voices to come to tell you that you're not prepared, you're not ready, you're not this, you're not that, I don't think you have this. You've got to start to understand that he wants you to live in no man's land. You've got to rise up today and say, no, I'm not going anywhere in Jesus' name. Because if you live in no man's land, guess what happens? The first thing that will happen is you'll not be able to produce. So the production level of the church goes, we're not producing. We become Esau's. An Esau church, an Esau generation, an Esau city, an Esau business will be a consumer, not a producer. Because Esau did not know how to convert what he carried into something he could eat. Didn't know how to convert that animal he killed. In church today, many people, because they don't have a concept of who they are, lose the ability, Pastor Zach, to convert the revelation into something that is actually usable. So everything sits in our head, doesn't become revelation, and the enemy comes in and says, if I can just get into their mindset, I can get them to run into no man's land, and they'll never fulfill destiny. Yeah. Don't stay in no man's land, and please stop running. Run back to the King. Run back to where you first received the word. Run back to the presence. Run back to worship. Run back. Amen. Come on. You've got to start to realize you cannot be distracted in this area. You've got to not be distracted. Amen. And it looks like there's a whole lot of distraction going on. You've got to be focused in what God wants you to do. Be focused there. Amen. Come on. Start to be focused. I want to know. Amen. Come on. Ask the hard question. Ask those things. God, I want to be like a David Livingstone. How many of you have ever heard of David Livingstone? David Livingstone was an Englishman, man, from Worcestershire in England that had no clue about Africa. I don't think he was, I don't know whether he was wise or just stupid. But he gets to Africa and says, I'm going to go through Africa and I'm going to spread the gospel, because he was a missionary. And if you read his story, this guy absolutely pushed the envelope. And won half of the southern part of Africa to the Lord. and actually found the Victoria Falls. And did such, you know, when he died, they actually took his heart out and buried it separately from his body, because they said that his heart was so amazing, they didn't want his heart to rot with his body. His heart was so amazing. Isn't that true? Have you read that? Yes. Yes, they buried his heart in Africa and they took his body back to England. I want to be buried like that. Take my heart and put it in the nations, man. And so my prayers, I want someone on the keyboard. Father, we just pray this morning. Come on, I want you to be prophetic this morning. I want you to lay hands on your body. Lay hands on your body. Lay hands on your body, on your heart. Not your kidneys, your heart. And I want you to start a prophesy. Start a prophesy. Father God, this morning I thank you that I've been transfigured. To say it, I want to see your mouth moving. Lord, I thank you that I'm being transfigured. I'm being transfigured. I've been transformed from glory to glory, God. I've been transfigured. I'm being transfigured. Come on, I want you girls to participate. I'm being transfigured. I'm being transformed. I'm being changed from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord, that I'm revived. You guys walk with crushed faith. And there will not be limitations on your ministry yet. Multiplication will follow you all the days of your life. And I didn't just say as a hyperbole that there'll be 1,000 people here. That's what I saw. That's why you've got to start preparing with your preparing your team, preparing this atmosphere. Praise God, you have 5 acres. You need a lot more parking than what you have. But you see, the anointing you carry, God says, look, it is, will be ever increasing. I saw stretches on the front. This church, by the way, won't look like this in the next coming months. It's all going to be different. And I saw that there was an area where people would lay stretches, and sick people would be laying there, and people would be healed. See, that's what God's bringing. God's bringing the church into an active display. Because we need to believe the stuff that we don't believe. And because you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and it says, and you will be saved. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a chosen generation. What is your name? Corey, there's more of God on you than you think. There's more God in you than you think. And I just see like God filling this cup until it's going to start to run over, and you are going to freak your parents out. I'm serious. They're going to say, what happened to Corey? He's just become so full on for God, and you're going to say to them, I want to go and get trained. I want to come to Bridge of Hope's discipleship school. Because that's what they'll have there. Same with you. You guys look the same, but you're so different. I'm also one of a twin. I'm the good looking one. But we're different. And I just see you emerging in the season. It's like God's put his hand on you, and I just see this emergence. Because there are times in your life, what's your name? Sean, there are times in your life where you have thought things through and you have wondered how this could happen. How, you're a thinker. He's a doer. You're a thinker. Everything has to be thought through. And because you've been thinking and meditating on God a little bit, God can pour in a whole more and more until something's going to erupt on the inside of you. And I saw a time come, Sean, where you were just, I saw you not dancing, but I saw you just saying, God, I need my guitar, I want to start. And I saw you playing and worshiping with such intensity that young men your age got saved because what they saw in you was a miracle. That's what God's doing. Some some of you sitting here that thought that you've lost your momentum. You guys, this couple sitting here, you will not lose your momentum. Because God's moving the church from membership to kingdom church. So quit trying to look for a church to be a member in. All of you sitting here looking for, well, I'm just looking for the perfect church. When you do find one, please call me and we'll really, I'd like to see that. Because that'll be a phenomenal. I've never met a perfect church yet. So God's moving you from membership to kingdomship. God's putting his kingdom on the inside of you. And you will release such faith in the people around you because God wants to restore your family. God wants to restore your family. And this family tree that's been harassed by the enemy, branches have fallen off prematurely. God wants to heal that. Same with you guys. There's such an anointing on your life. And I'm telling you, I spoke to your wife this week. She's a walking miracle. And God says, I'm going to give you a testimony of what God has done. And people will come into the kingdom because when you speak, they will say, man, you've never thought that he loved God that much. God's giving you a heart transplant. Not physically, but in the spirit. I just see God says, I'm going to start touching your heart and bringing you into such capacity for the kingdom of heaven. And the things that didn't make sense are going to start making sense to you. Amen? Come on. Captivated. That lady from Poland, captivated by God. Captivated. You think all the times you traveled and all the times you sought God and all the times you wanted to be in God, you think that's just gone unnoticed? No. Where's your husband? Is that five? With a baby? I watched your baby. That baby's so prophetic. Come on, listen to me. You guys should start a mission school out of this building. You should get back into a place and you say, God, we're going to train men and women to go into all the world. That's what you carry. And this is a great place. We don't have to go to Bethel, although I love Bethel. This could become a place of training, and God wants you to be the trainer, especially your husband. Some of you like your seat. Well, I like my seat, like my parking. God's going to unravel your seating. I'm telling you. What's your name? Jabari, why aren't you on the platform prophesying and worshiping? Come on. Amen. Why do you think God's giving you this boldness? Amazing boldness and strategy. And it's like you're full of God. God wants you to know that his kingdom is not boring. When you see people's eyes open and people being raised from the dead, let me tell you, God's kingdom is not boring. There's more on you than the eye can see. Come here, I'm going to lay hands on you. I like to lay hands because when I lay hands, there's an impartation. So you can't expect to be the same as you were today, tomorrow. Amen? Come on. You're a leader. There's leadership on you. Strong leadership is strong. It's like a sports thing on you. God's going to use the sporting arena for you to bring other people into the kingdom. What sport do you play? Have you started a prayer thing with your people? Why not? Don't even answer me. Because you're the loudest there. You've got to start to look at yourself in the mirror every day. And you've got to start to say, Lord, I have the power of God operating in me. And Lord, would you use me as a flame, as a powerhouse amongst my friends? Some of your friends need miracles. Some of your friends, their homes are a mess. Some of your friends don't know who they are. They are begging for somebody to give them a little bit of attention. Why don't you bring the clarity of who God is in your life into their life? Why don't you set an example? Why don't you become the leader of the pack? Instead of trying to lead from behind, why don't you lead from the front and cause them to want to lead and follow after you. Next Sunday, you should have your whole team in church. I'm serious. That's not a joke. Because of what you carry. You carry such an awesome thing in your life. You got your, is this your mom? She carries so much of God in her life. You have a DNA of a king. You're like King David. You just don't know it yet. Amen? Yeah, come on. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I lay hands on him today, I pray for fresh fire. Lord, I pray that he'll be so radical for the kingdom that he'll become a revolutionist in his generation in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. And you can still do the thug life, man. It's cool. Wish I can live the thug life. Thank you, Jesus. I was so blessed when you got up to dance. So blessed. Thank you, Jesus. This lady sitting here, what's your name? Karina? Karina. God is not passing you by. God is going to stop when Bartimaeus cried out. Bartimaeus says, Jesus, stop. And he's about to stop at your request. God is starting to heal. Who's the gentleman next to you? God is going to start to restore in your household, in your home, everything that you've cried out to God for. God is not ignoring us. God is healing. There's a great healing coming in your household, on your daughter, on the generation. Everything that you thought was just going to be, Lord, I'll never see that happen. I'll never have another dream. You're going to start to have dreams again. You're going to start to understand the purposes of God like never before, because God has not forgotten. God's birthing vision. That brother sitting there with a blue shirt on. God is birthing vision. What's your name, sir? Yes. John, are you guys together? Married? Please hold hands. John, new vision. Fresh vision. Fresh concepts of God. I just feel like you're in the valley of decision. And yet you have such an amazing anointing on you to teach. You have a teaching anointing. You have like this consulting anointing on your life where you can bring people in and coach them and mentor them and speak life over them. It's like the enemy is trying to come in and make you think that your field will never ever bring forth a harvest. But your household will be a place of harvest. You'll see a harvest in your life. I'm not speaking about just money. I'm speaking about all the concepts, the giftings, and the anointings of God becoming a reality. Come on. Change your mindset. This is not about being a member. This is about being part of the kingdom of heaven. And if I've ever been in a church that exhibits and illustrates the kingdom of God, this is. Amen? What's your name? Yes. And? Josh and? Brittany? Brandy. Why did they call you Brandy? It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. They had their reason. You will usher in the new wine anointing. I watched you. I watched people with my eyes. I saw people with my eyes. Hold hands. You guys have got something phenomenal in your life. There is an amazing anointing to compose prophecy, to sing prophetically. You've got to start singing, my brother, prophetically. I know sometimes you have to, Joshua, look at me. Sometimes you have to stick to the book. But every now and then, break the rules. And while you're playing, start a prophecy. Amen? Come on. Because when you play and when you sing in this worship team, I see people getting healed. That's the anointing that's on the worship. Joshua, God's got it. Quit worrying. Stop it. Thank you, Jesus. That guy with the cap on, you born again? Spirit filled? Raising the dead? Not yet. God's healing you this morning. God's healing your heart. God says, I'm dismissing all the expectations of man. Now just give him more, Jesus. What's your name, sir? Aiden? I get the word Eden. God says, I'm going to replant some things in your heart. And there's like this warfare going on. I see you in warfare with everything in, around you, all your peers, all your friends, all the stuff. It's like you're torn between this relationship and their relationship. Is that right? And God says, if you will give me all of you, I'll add to you those things that you never thought would ever be added. And you'll stand out in the crowd and people will want to follow you. You're a leader. You're not just a follower. That's why there's war. You are so torn because you love people so much. Is that right? How many instruments do you play? Two? I see five. You need to start writing some songs. You need to start getting around the presence of God so that you can become the David that God's called you to be. And God says, I'm going to heal you. I just see God healing your heart, brother. I'm telling you. The times that you've been betrayed, the times that you've been misunderstood, the times that, you know, you just felt nobody cared. God's healing you because that's the type of stuff that the enemy was to use to get you to live in no man. And in the past couple of months, you've been living in no man. Come on, Eden. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That lady sitting right in the middle here, what's your name again? Denise? God says, I'm going to give you eagle eyes. Eyes of an eagle. I just see you perceiving and discerning things in the Spirit. You've been crying out to God for the cracks and where the enemy started coming to the foundation stones. God says, I'm going to give you such insight of how to protect the foundation in the people that you love. I'm telling you. You know, there's certain cities in Revelation. One city was Sardis. What's the one city in Revelation where it says where the enemy actually didn't come over the walls, they went through the foundation. I think it was the city of Sardis. And it's like the enemy is trying to come and test your foundation. Is that right? God says this is going to be a season of restoration, and the foundation of your family, the foundations that you've laid will not be weakened in Jesus' name. You will not feel weakened. You'll not feel like you did not accomplish enough. You're going to be encouraged, and God says, I'm going to reassure you in the season that you've laid things right. Amen? Is this ministry to you? Because I want to tell you right now, you're at a place where you can either throw in the net, throw in the thing, or you can take up your vision, take up the mantle, take it up, say, God, we're gonna fight this good fight. Amen? Because I see you standing with the titles done. In Jesus' name. This couple sitting over here, you guys together, hold hands. I just feel that you have been, also, you've been leaning in, and you've been, it's almost like there's a battle been going on for family. Great battle. But I want to tell you today that God is going to restore the most impossible
ridiculous situation. Right now they are ridiculously impossible. But when you come into a place of prayer, don't beg God. Thank Him. Because it's your worship that's going to get God's attention to actually fight on your behalf. Amen? Because there's a lot going on. I just said like justice systems and legal stuff and this stuff and that stuff. And God says, I put my finger on it. And it's all going to come to a place of restoration. What's this little boy's name? Excuse me? Come here, Bryce. Thank you. You watch this space. How old are you? You're an amazing young man. And the one thing that, are you born again? Have you asked Jesus into your life? Because you know what I see? I see an amazing leader. But you're not going to become the product of everybody else's disarray and dysfunction. I see God making you strong on the inside. Strength. Put your hand up. Open your hand. Strong. I see strength. I see strength. Keep your hand up. Strength. 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 You are believable. You are an amazing woman. You're amazing. You're very funny, but you're very amazing. And I see God giving you insight. Tremendous insight. But you see things other people don't see. You notice and feel things other people don't notice and feel. I'm telling you, who's this to you? I'm telling you, this young guy here, you're going to see something, huh? 13, 14, 15, there's going to be such a move of God in his life. Amen? Very special young man. What's your name? Josiah? You are like a Josiah. Because I just feel at the moment you're behind, like, you're not noticed. It's like you're in, like, hidden. And God says, in the next couple of months, I'm bringing you out of hiding. Come here. Are your parents here? This guy's coming out of hiding. Take him off my hand. I like to hold these hands. You're coming out of hiding. You're coming out of that place of isolation. Breaking your heart. Yeah, break your heart. In a good way. So that all the oil and all the joy and all the beautiful fragrance of who you are comes out. You carry such a beautiful heart. It's like God wants to break the alabaster box. Because you keep everything inside. You do. Does he keep everything? Yeah, you just keep everything inside. Nobody knows what you're feeling, how you're doing. Sometimes you're not even emotional. God says, I want you to become so broken and so emotional and so fragrant and say, yes, I want to love God so loud. Amen? You've got an amazing gift for music on your life. You dream. 12 hours a day of your life, you dream. You just dream all the time. God says, I want you to keep on dreaming. Write those dreams down. So to speak, life over those dreams. You've got to get one phrase in your mouth every day. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Because you're so used to people telling you, well, you'll never really do it. Come on. You're a great leader. You're an amazing young man. You're brilliant. Sound brilliant. Yes. You're brilliant. You're brilliant to lead. Come on. You've got to get to a place where you can say, Lord, who can I lead besides me? Yeah, think about that. Amen. What's your name? AJ, what does that stand for? Come here, Andrew Jeremiah. Same with you. So I can do all things. You've got to rise up. You've got to rise up. You've got to rise up. You've got so much on your tongue. Amen. Are you born again? Rise up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this precious, precious family. Carrying destiny. Come on, we've got to call it. See, can I just say this to your parents? You can answer. Can I just say this to you? As parents, we've got to start to learn to call it out of our kids. When Gabby was just a little girl, we would lay hands on her and call it. And I remember pastors coming to me and saying, you're putting so much pressure on your kids. Like, what? I'm calling them into their purpose and their destiny. And you know that all three of my kids serve God today. Why? Because when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, when they get to 10, you can only suggest stuff. But when they're 2 years old and 3 years old and 4 years old, I can pour whatever I carry into their lives so that they can become all God has for them. Amen? Just say one more time, I'm destiny. Say it again. I am destiny. I am revival. I am destiny. I display the glory of God in Jesus' name, in my generation, in my city, in my nation, in my region. I will display the glory of God. I'll bring forth the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name.
So I don't know if you caught the resounding theme, but you can do more than you think. You're a leader, right? It doesn't take somebody coming alongside you and telling you this is your position or this is your title, right? But you are a leader. We learned yesterday, last night, what it looks like to be a courageous leader, right? We learned the day before, I am revival. And inside revival that's in me, it's going to take courage to lead. We have so much chaos and craziness that's trying to swirl around us. And we must be courageous leaders in this time. And we must begin to believe things about ourselves that God says about us, that maybe we don't see and maybe nobody else sees, but He says it is so. Right? Jabari, not to put you on the spot, and I'm not trying to make you like anybody else, but in, I think it was probably 2000, the captain of the football team of Chugiak, his name was Mike Pavlik, got radically saved and radically on fire for God, and we saw a revival take place in Chugiak High School. That it was, the teachers were getting saved, like the Alpha and Omega Club blew up from just a handful of students to around 300. They couldn't find a place big enough to put them. They actually ended up putting them in the auditorium to meet because they didn't know what to do with all these crazy, fiery teenagers. And it wasn't just Mike, but there was something that happened in the hearts and lives of so many people that were touched by this one football player that said, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what people talk about me. And then people went, well, if he can do it, we can do it. We started seeing the football team showing up here. Cheerleader. I mean, of course, the cheer. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, and so when you spoke that, I saw, I know, and I saw an opportunity, God opening the door to something that had already taken place but wasn't ever fully fulfilled. It's like God opening the door for that again. And so, yeah, I just, again, I'm not trying to make you, you be you. You do what God tells you to do. But I'm telling you that I've seen the product of when one person says yes and it fires up other people around them. Be the leader God calls you to be. So, yeah, he ended up in the military. He's actually trained to be an underwater welder, ended up in Seattle, but he went to a ministry school and ended up in the military leading a division of men in the things of God. And I mean, just, yeah, crazy. So many stories I can tell you of things that happen like that. But the point is, God's looking for your yes. God's looking for you to just stand up and say, I am revival. I am a courageous leader. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and allow him to lead you into all those things. Everybody stand up. Just engage your heart right now into, I'm going to pray over you, and just engage your heart right now. So, Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for the words that we've heard. We will not let them just be words. We will not let them just be another good service, another good prophetic time. But God, we will engage in what you are saying. We will put our yes on the line. We will put our reputations on the line. We will become the revival that you say that we are. We will become the courageous leaders that you've designed for us to be. We will begin to see ourselves the way that you see us. No matter what we've been through, no matter what other people say or see, or what's happening around us, we will engage. We will incorporate our yes into this entire situation. And we thank you that we're going to see things begin to shift and change in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Lord, we thank you, and we all give you our yes today in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Bless you all.